amber waves of grain. A purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. Well, now, wait a minute. I'm talking about America. Sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. We are on iHeartRadio. All you need to do is download the app to your smartphone or tablet and take us with you wherever. You can also go to WVON.com. And our call-in number is 312-374-8130. And, of course, you can get social, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. America's Heroes Group is proudly sponsored by Attorney Steve Seidman of Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman, 20 South Clark Street, 2 First National Plaza, Suite 700, Chicago, Illinois, 60603. Toll-free, 888-837-3275. Office number 312-781-1977. Also proudly sponsored by Eastlake Management and Development Corporation, 2850 South Michigan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60616. Office number 312-842-5500. And the National Women's Veterans United, 7909 South Racine, Chicago, Illinois. Office is 872-731-2150. Website, www.nwvu.org. And, of course, America's Heroes Group is a radio talk show. And, of course, we are here for public policy, veterans affairs, retired and active, housing, legal, health, finance, women's, Millennials, Veteran Service Organizations, Military Families, Veterans Court, and outside the city and universities. And we have done such a great job in helping a whole lot of people. America's Heroes Group Policy Roundtable is going on right now. And I am, of course, the host. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith. Our digital media producer is Manny Corazzari. Our Public Policy Roundtable panelist. Got to mention this, gentlemen. America's Heroes Group welcomes our new panelist and advisory board member, the Honorable former Governor of Illinois, none other than George H. Ryan Sr., family man, Korean War veteran, and, of course, the governor who abolished the death penalty, and we're so pleased to have him as part of our team. Governor, how are you?
I'm good, Cliff. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thank you so much. Also in our studio in the round table, we have Rochelle Crump, as you know what she does, and we're so pleased to have her here. Attorney Ernesto Borges, Consular, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Cliff.
Good. And, of course, Sean Claiborne. Sean, how you doing today?
All right.
Good, 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 good. Governor, thank you so much for being with us, and we appreciate your ability to and your desire, of course, to help out with our events and the things that we do in this organization, because, of course, you are a veteran, of course, in the Korean War. But one of the other great things, of course, that you did, that a lot of us certainly feel, is, of course, you're abolishing the Illinois death penalty. But thank you so much. Tell us what you feel as a veteran.
Well, let me say, first of all, Cliff, thanks for including me in your group. I'm honored, and hope I can contribute to what we can do for veterans in Illinois and across the country. You've got a good organization there, and I hope that I can be a part of helping what we do there.
We know you
are. I want to make it clear that I was in Korea from 54 to 55, and it was after the war was over. So I was there when the fighting was done and kind of doing a little of the cleanup work.
That's the place to be at the time. I think that your timing worked out well, you know, because, oh, my goodness, you know, that was 30, something else.
30-some thousand, I think.
Yeah, yeah, Consul. Right, right, right. So that
I'm here.
Yeah, you're here. You're here. You're, nevertheless, you are a veteran, and that's many of us are veterans. In fact, a majority of veterans are non-combat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except me, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. This whole situation, I got to say this just for a moment, although it doesn't have anything to do, but the fact that you abolished the death penalty, just tell us how you determined to do that.
Well, it was really a no-brainer, Cliff. You know, the death penalty was fraught with error and corruption, and if you're going to have a penalty or a law that takes somebody's life, you better have one that works perfectly. And the death penalty in Illinois, and I doubt any place, frankly, works perfectly. So I decided that if we didn't have a law that worked perfectly, we probably shouldn't have the law at all. I think that life in prison is probably worse than death, frankly. And I think the people, it doesn't act as a deterrent. The death penalty doesn't. There was always that proposition that maybe people were afraid to do anything because of the death penalty, but that's not true. And it hasn't been for years. But in Illinois, we had the death penalty, and it was just, we had 25 people on death row. 12 of them were exonerated by the courts, and 13 were executed. It was kind of like flipping a coin, I guess. And when the Porter case broke, the first year that I was governor, my wife and I were sitting in the mansion in Springfield watching the local Chicago news, and we see this little guy come out from prison all smiles and grins because he'd just been freed from death row after 15 or 16 years as an innocent man. And I turned to my wife and said, how does that happen in America? How do we keep people on death row for 15 years and then tell them, well, you're really innocent, go on home? And I became concerned about it, and I continued to look at it over the time, and the Tribune did a whole series on the flaws that were in the death penalty propositions and the things that happened. Unqualified trial lawyers handling cases, black individuals and defendants convicted and sentenced to death by all white juries. Just things that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And then, of course, the error in getting to the death penalty through the trial situation. And the best case I can talk about, I think, is the O.J. Simpson case. We all saw that, watched it over the time of that trial. The errors there was in handling of the evidence and the things that pointed to what could be and couldn't be. And so I just looked at it and said, if we had an airplane that flew from Chicago to Boston 3 days a week and crashed every day, would we stop flying that airplane, or would we just keep flying? And I thought that's what we had with the death penalty. We had people that were innocent and sitting on death row, and still have, by the way, 10, 15, 20 years, only to be told that, look, you're innocent and you can go on home now. Of course, their families are gone. They have no means of support. Things are just, their whole life is just combobulated, and they're not able to function like they should, and it's all because of the death penalty.
You know, and
so I tried to correct it, Cliff, to make it so it was perfect, but I couldn't. The politics of it just wouldn't work that way. I mean, nobody wanted to get involved. They don't care about it, and so I just said, well, as long as I'm governor, there won't be anybody that's going to be sent to death. I called a moratorium first, and then attempted to improve the system so we didn't execute any innocent people. But it was an election year, and of course, that was, everybody was afraid to touch the death penalty. So I then just said, well, we're going to take everybody off of death row and put them in jail for the rest of their life. Although during my tenure, I did execute one person, and he was a pretty bad guy, and the whole group, there was four of them, but there was only one that was executed in the Corkialis case. But it was one of those things that I looked at and said, any laws that we had, if they were this bad, we wouldn't try and enforce them about anything else. And why would we do it when you're going to take somebody's life? Let's get rid of this thing.
You know, you did
they
say one
got
thing.
It done after I left office. They eventually abolished it.
Abolished it, right. You did say one thing, Governor, that interested me, because some people feel the same way, that actually life in prison could be even worse. You know, if you get a young man who, whomever, a young person who is sentenced to life in prison, well, that's
sure.
Yeah, that's terrible. One of our members here, of course, and you'll meet everybody when you come in, Attorney Ernesto Borges. Constable,
yes.
Do you want to say something about
yes,
that?
Yes. Yeah. Good afternoon, Governor. And we've met before, and your son used to work with me at the Illinois State Board of Elections over the summer, years and years ago, when you were Secretary of State. But I want to ask you something. Do you believe in the death penalty, or do you believe that what bothers me with it is that the standard for a criminal matter is beyond a reasonable doubt, whether it's a capital crime
or
whether
I was a believer of the death penalty for my whole career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember in 1976, I think it was, when the Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional,
mm-hmm.
and we put together another law to make it constitutional.
Yeah.
And I was on the floor of the Illinois House as a member there,
yeah.
and I voted green.
Right.
And I think it was a fellow by the name of Bob Mann, who was a Democrat, got
yeah.
up and looked over and said, how many of you that are voting green here today to reinstate the death penalty would be willing to throw the switch?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about that for a minute and said, I don't think I'd like to throw the switch. That's what started kind of the things working in my brain a little bit.
Yeah.
But I went ahead and voted for it anyway, and they kept it on.
Yeah.
And then little did I know, some 20 years later or more, that I would be the governor of the state and have the opportunity to do what I did. But I thought we could correct the system, and when I found out that it wasn't correctable, I said, let's do what we can to abolish it, and I still feel that way about it.
And I do, too, and I'm just so glad you did that, and you mentioned some of the reasons why it's still a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk about who's sitting on these juries, for instance,
sure.
and some of the other major problems. We are just so pleased, Governor, that you are going to be with our new advisory board member. Tell us what your feelings were about being a veteran.
About being what?
A veteran. You were an Army veteran.
Well, it goes back a long time.
Yeah.
That was back in 1954 to
56.
I was in the United States Army.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still a veteran, Governor.
Well, yeah, I know. it was an experience in my life.
Yeah.
I probably could have done without, but one that I think I benefited from and learned a little bit about life when I was there. The military is it's a great place to learn a lot of things about life as a young man and a young woman. And I was fortunate enough to get some breaks, and I had a special deal when I was in the Army. I was had gone to 1 year of pharmacy school and got drafted. Went to Korea, where they trained me as a clerk typist, and they sent me with a company that was to an Air Force base in Kunsan, Korea, to maintain the airstrip. It was a construction company. And when I got there, the Air Force had a hospital on the base, but they didn't have a pharmacist. And so they did what they called SCARWAF with me. Special categories of the Army reassigned with the Air Force. I lived with the Army. I went to barracks in the Army every night, but I worked all day and was under the command basically of the Air Force. And it wasn't a bad gig. It was a pretty good gig.
Hey Governor, can I ask you something?
Sure.
Where was your mess hall? Because the Air Force always ate better than the Army.
Listen, I want to tell you. I'd take care of all of the cooks down in
right.
the
yeah.
Smart.
And when,
smart.
When the fresh milk came in and the things came in, when I'd go back at night, there'd maybe a quart of milk under my pillow or something under the pit.
Governor,
we don't want to. Oh, go right ahead,
Governor. This is Sean Claiborne.
Yeah, sure.
Financial specialist on the team.
Pardon?
This is Sean Claiborne. My question is: How did the military and your experience in Korea change your view of the world?
So, how
did your experience in Korea change your view of the world?
Well, I went to Korea, it was pretty crude. It was a pretty crude place. I was just a young guy and not very old, and had a big eye-opener as a fellow that came from Kankakee and led a pretty good life, didn't understand what those kind of conditions were like. And it helped me, I think, grow up a little bit pretty fast.
Listen, as Ernesto mentioned, that the Air Force got better food. But, of course, you might have been really helpful because you were a pharmacist. Did you do anything?
Well, I wasn't a pharmacist at the time, but when I ran the pharmacy, they didn't have any pharmacists. I was just a one-year student.
Okay.
Of course, I've been in the pharmacy business all my life.
Yeah, I know.
We had pharmacies in the family for
years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what did you do then relative to that? Were you able to help people with...
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I'd call every day and suspend, even gave shots, helped the doctor. Sometimes, a couple of times, I used to scrub in on a couple of appendectomies. We had a doctor there that was from Northwestern University and graduated and was a doctor for the base. And we became close friends. And I got to do a lot of things that I probably never would have been able to do in my life.
It sounds like that TV series.
Which chance were to say the chief with Hawkeye.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
What was the name of that TV series?
MASH.
MASH,
yeah.
right. Yeah, that sounds like it. It's great, yeah.
I have a question.
Yes, go right ahead, please.
Okay, this is Rochelle Crump, and I know in your time that there were still separated male from female barracks. And so what type of interaction did you have with females during that time?
We didn't have any females. That was back in the 50s, early 50s. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any females.
None on your post?
But I'll tell you, one of the deals that I did, that we did have a problem with, and I don't know if I can talk about it on the radio, but I'll try.
Sure, go ahead.
There was a lot of venereal disease floating around, and they tried to separate those that had it from those that didn't and tried to make separate facilities for those people. And I got into that fight with the commanders on the base. They wanted to paint the facilities red. And anybody that had gonorrhea had to use a red facility.
Really?
And of course we fought that and beat it. It was pretty embarrassing for those fellows that had to do that.
Yeah. And no hot lips Houlihan, though. So did the soldiers, I mean, did they go to the villages down there in South Korea? And so they had all Korean women. They just didn't see the Americans.
It was so crude,
Yeah.
The entertainment generally came to the base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the entertainment. Yeah. I like the way the governor says that.
Yeah.
Well, that's right.
A little euphemism there.
absolutely. Well, Governor, again, thank you so much for your service and all the great things you've done as a veteran and as an elected official. And also,
well, now, let me ask you, Cliff, as a new member of this group.
Yes.
I want to work with everybody, but I'm kind of anxious to see what I can do to get going, and I need a little direction from you folks.
Oh, you get it.
Tell me what you want me to do.
Yes, you will definitely get all of that information. Glenda Smith, our executive producer, is preparing a package for you, and you'll be getting that very soon, Governor. And we're going to keep you as busy as you want to be.
I can give him the first pointer.
Yeah,
be the best man you can be.
Be the best man he can be. That's right. That's right. He'll do that. So you'll get
like an army slogan.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's
we
right.
We can be an army of one.
Well, everybody's army in the room, right?
Now, are you people all remote like I am, or are you in the studio?
No, we're in the studio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I got to do that. I'm in Springfield.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But you'll be able to get us here in the studio. You'll be with us, I'm sure. But we just think it's great that you are going to be helpful because of your background and all the things that you've done, not only as a soldier, as a veteran, I should say, but also as the governor who's done so much. So we are very happy. And America's Heroes Group welcomes our new panelist and advisory board member, the Honorable Former Governor of Illinois, George E.
Thanks Ryan very much.
Senior.
Okay.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, thanks, folks. Everybody, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All righty.
Yeah. Governor, Lieutenant Governor, and Secretary of State.
Yeah, Secretary of State,
I met him when he was Lieutenant Governor.
Right.
Yeah. One thing that I can also talk about with his experience is that he learned how to be a pharmacist or improve his skills in the military. which a lot of people can take advantage of today.
That's true. He did say that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, we are pleased to be with us, and stay with us now. We'll be back with more on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired, and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared to veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net. Eastlake Management is proud to honor America's heroes. We salute all who have served with valor in the U.S. Armed Forces. We honor your courage and sacrifice for our country and its citizens. We are proud of our employees who are U.S. veterans, and we appreciate the strength and commitment that they bring to the Eastlake team. Eastlake Management, founded in 1983, is dedicated to delivering affordable, comfortable housing to the residents at the properties we manage. Eastlake proudly salutes America's heroes.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the American Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlements. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services.
We're located at 7907 South Racine in Chicago, Illinois.
And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
Keep your finger on the pulse of urban radio by tuning into WVON, the only urban talk station on iHeartRadio. Download the iHeartRadio app today. It's absolutely free.
WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is America's Heroes Group, and we are continuing with our great panel members here. We are pleased to have, of course, Rochelle Crump with us, Attorney Ernesto Borges, and also Sean Claiborne. And we're going to talk, and we'll be taking calls too. So those of you, that's 312-374-8130. And again, we certainly thank the governor, the former governor, George H. Ryan Sr., for not only being a veteran, but the other great things he's done in addition to cutting out the death penalty, which was a good thing. Right now, we want to take a CNN clip. You'll hear about something we want to discuss.
A growing crisis among active duty military members and veterans, many taking their own lives. On Monday, a veteran killed himself outside this Veterans Affairs Hospital in Cleveland, the fourth veteran suicide at a VA facility just this month.
I knew that I had to decide to get on dying or get on living.
Army veteran Eric Donahoe was on the front lines in Iraq. In 2015, he was on the precipice.
That led me to my kitchen table in December of 2015 with my Glock in my mouth trying to pull the trigger.
Donahoe has lost 14 military buddies to suicide.
The VA prescribes an obscene amount of opiates to veterans, and in that, veterans are also drinkers. And so when you combine those two and you add depression to the mix, you know, you're creating a pretty bad scenario for veterans.
The VA secretary knows much more needs to be done.
I think it's a question of changing the culture, and we have probably done a better job of that than any other health system. I say we're treating the pain, not the brain, with opioids.
President Trump has ordered new efforts on suicide prevention.
Veteran suicide is a tragedy of staggering proportions.
In the active duty ranks, there were 231 suicides in the first 9 months of 2018 compared to 203 during the same time the year before. Almost as alarming, Marine Corps Commandant General Robert Neller says most of those never saw combat.
Last year, we had the highest number of Marines take their own lives.
Even with all the effort, some 20 veterans still take their lives every day.
With the amount of effort and resources that we're putting towards the problem, we're really not making a dent.
Marine Corps suicides reached a 10-year high last year in the special operations community. Suicides tripled, and over the recent Easter holiday, five service members took their own lives.
That is horrific. It is. Twenty per day. And then they're talking most of these people that are committing suicide have never even seen combat.
That's right.
Yeah. So I tell you, Dr. Damon Arnold, of course, one that we all know.
Sure.
But he's sick today, so that's what he's not here. But we would be talking to him. Who wants to respond to that at all? This is horrific.
It's very curious that I'd like to know how many veterans we have. What's the pool when we say 20 a day, and what's the general population, and what, you know, how do you account for that? I mean, if you've got people who are not in combat,
right.
Of course, it doesn't take combat to have PTSD
or some
of these conditions. You can just witness certain things. Sure. But I don't know how that shakes out, because if you're not in, really stressful situations, why is that?
And
what
getting
do you attribute
worse.
That to? And getting worse.
And getting worse per year.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the research that comes out that's been put out in the last maybe decade or so is showing that a lot of the people that are committing suicide are not even active or active duty service members. They're people from previous wars, conflicts. The stereotype is that you have the Afghanistan or Iraq veteran who's the one committing suicide who's just come back from a tour of duty. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, as years go by, these demons that have been carried around in people's heads are what actually are driving people to finally take that step.
But if they weren't in combat, let's say you take somebody who was in Afghanistan or Iraq and they were not non-combat personnel, why would, what demons would come back? I think a lot of research needs to be done.
When you think about this going through the military process, excuse me, when you think about this going through that military process of being dehumanized to be turned into a soldier or to a Marine, that process within itself can do a lot damage to the psyche. And then when you go into a civilian environment, now you have to change from being a soldier back into being a person. And there's no transition process for that.
I know what you're saying, but sometimes the comeback when you get home might be more serious than what
we have. Yeah,
because what we have now.
I'd like to look at, because when I was in the service in 19, when I went in January 68, it was a lot tougher than what the Army's like. I mean, you got hit by your sergeants, you got thrown on the ground, you got It was a lot more dehumanizing, if you will, those getting ready to go to Vietnam and so forth. And even, I would say, prior years also was a lot tougher than it is now. I don't think, you know, they get nice barracks and this and that.
It's more than just the barracks and the uniforms.
Let's get a female viewpoint. Yeah.
Well, Rochelle, what you have to remember is that sometimes they go into the military already with trauma.
Yeah, so that's true. Maybe that's why they went in the military.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely, because there's a lot of young people who were in foster care,
right,
who were in, you know, the systems, and so they take that with them when they go, and then they make it through the first part of it, but then the second part of it, when I say the first part, they go through the basic training, they go through all of those types of stimulating exercises and activities, getting oriented into the military. But then as they move on to the next level, they run into a lot of more challenges. One, because they're younger. You know, you have to look at that too. And then there's a lot of strains in the military.
And there may be there might have been a crack in the armor to begin with.
Let me say this, though. At least we have to acknowledge the fact that there's help, hopefully. House Bill 2333 is a good step to helping curb veteran suicide. This is a bipartisan support for Suicide Prevention Coordinators Act. That's the official name of the act. Introduced by Representative Anthony Benenzi, a Democrat from New York, and co-sponsored by Representatives Jim Banks, who is a Republican from Indiana, and Mike Boster, who is a Republican from right here in Illinois.
Downstate.
Yeah, exactly, downstate. And so This was written by Natasha Standen. He says, as a woman who served three tours, I breathed a sigh of relief seeing Congress, step up and take action to begin to address our nation's worsening crisis of not properly treating veterans with PTSD, which has led to an epidemic of suicide.
You know what? I am not going to applaud that. Number one, because this is 2019. This has been going on for a very long time. And that is just a response from, if you will remember, not long ago, the money that they did not spend in order to do community work to help veterans. So that's just a Band-Aid to what they should have been doing all along.
But, Rochelle, isn't it a good thing now to try to do something about it?
It
should have been done earlier. We know
that. It breaks my heart because if you look back at the ones, you know, in the last couple of years, I mean, what didn't we learn from that? We should have done that beginning in Vietnam. All this stuff has been out here, Rochelle, prevalent.
But I don't want to say because we haven't done it then.
I'm just glad
you've got this is bipartisan.
This is
what
they should
do.
That's what we elect them to do.
Yes,
we elect them to do those things.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
You know, the thing is, there's so many factors involved. I think there has to be, you know, more research. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know what the suicide rate was, during World War II, those vets, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Iran, so forth, and what their MOSs were, how much time elapsed, was it while they were on active duty, 3 years after, 4 years after. I think there has to be a lot of research and a lot of data compiled. But there is a lot of data out there
that actually shows that most of the vets who commit suicide are not from the current conflicts. The majority of the veterans that are committing suicide are from prior to Iraq and Afghanistan, prior to Operation Desert Storm. You know, this is a problem that, like Rochelle was talking about, that's been brewing for decades.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, nobody really took PTSD seriously. That didn't come in. The word term PTSD didn't even come into the 80s and 90s.
Well, they called it shell shock.
And then battle fatigue later in World War II. From a personal standpoint
of me working with people who have committed suicide, who worked at the VA hospital, who worked at the regional office, they were Vietnam veterans. Mm-hmm. So this is not just something that just...
No, it's not. And I understand your concern. I totally agree with you, but I do not like the fact that you seem to be putting down the fact that you've got a bipartisan bill, Rochelle.
I'm mad about it, but let's do better.
Let's do better.
If they want to do better.
That's not what the bill is all about.
No, and I understand that. And I'm happy about the bill.
I'm glad you said that, because
some lives too late is what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, well, it's good for...
Eddie Reed said earlier, the windshield is bigger than the back.
If we're going to do that, then let's start working in the community because the VA cannot do this by themselves.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's the other
thing. All I'm saying is that Bill 2, 333 is a good step to help incur veteran suicide. That's
okay.
And whatever else we do, that's great too.
Yeah.
Okay. 312-374-8130 is our number. Let's take a call. Brother Hall, how you doing?
Hello.
Hi, Brother Hall. How you doing?
Hey, good. Cliff, good. And to your guest,
yes.
I normally just sit back and relax and listen, but today I had to call in because, one, I know the governor is still listening. Thank you for all that you've done, Governor Ryan.
Great.
But, Cliff, let me also say this
sure.
to your guest point.
Mm-hmm.
She said something that if we're going to do that, maybe we need to hit the street and, in other words, have a holistic approach to this piece. And I totally agree. Because as I'm in the Valley of the Dry Bones, and you know, Cliff, I feed, right?
Yes.
My wife and I.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing more veterans, brother. I'm seeing more veterans under the viaducts on these corners.
Right.
And I just think it's terrible. It's a shame that someone who has fought for our country, I'm not a veteran,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I can imagine, man, you know, you go overseas or wherever you went, and those who have not fought, but enlisted into the military, you know, and then to come back here to deal with your people that won't even take care of you. What about the discrimination that they went through probably when they were there and then come home to face the same thing? So I think we do need to step up our game,
sure.
particularly for the veterans. I think we need to step up our game just like they had a Million Man March. We need to think on something
right.
in terms of to shine more light.
Well
on the
stated.
Veterans, and I'm going to hang up and listen to your
well
distinguished guest.
Okay.
Because this is really one hell of a show.
Thank you.
And then lastly, let me say this.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know how you do this show with that super, super producer that you have, Brenda. Man, we love her, man. Thank you so much for,
thank you, brother,
for producing it. All right, my brother.
Yeah. I have to repeat this. She's not in the room right now.
Listen, yeah, she heard it.
She heard
it. Let me say this before we take the next caller. You know, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to be a veteran.
No.
You can
that's
get,
right.
It's a psychiatric condition.
That's right.
It's people who experience or witness a traumatic experience like a natural disaster. Doesn't have to be combat. A serious accident.
Mm-hmm. In certain neighborhoods in Chicago.
Right, damn right.
that's
what I said earlier.
That you tossed on something
sure.
serious because
sure.
people, actually there's a lot of movements, and even one of the aldermen mm-hmm. in Chicago is actually putting a study together or putting an initiative to address PTSD in
neighborhoods,
Chicago
right.
black neighborhoods
yeah.
because
yeah.
of gun violence.
Non-military
yeah,
PTSD.
With
civilians.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's
go to another 312-374-8130. Let's take our next caller. Ruth, how
hello.
Are you?
Yes,
hi, Ruth.
Hi.
Good. Thanks for calling there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, during the earlier wars, conflicts, there was a united front. The soldiers, the general population, they were, for the most part, involved in whatever the issue was. Now, when they return, the general population, for the most part, don't have a clue where they've been, why they've been there, etc. Could that have something to do with the psychic of these men who have been trained to be soldiers when their home front is not involved in what they're involved in? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, thank you for your call, Ruth. Well, that certainly was the situation in Nam, for sure. I mean,
yeah.
that it was terrible. And one of the greatest things I saw then was the parade that happened
downtown Chicago.
Downtown Chicago, yeah, that was a,
yeah,
that was
we
a help. But once
we
people
were,
had already been,
yeah,
yeah exactly. But thank you so much, Ruth. Listen, this is something we really want to talk about, too. The VA has come out against bills on medical marijuana for veterans. There's a lot of that. Let's,
I think one of the problems is that it's a federal crime.
Yeah.
And, I mean, states have, mm-hmm. you know, are allowing decriminalizing marijuana,
sure,
but it's still against federal law,
and they ought to change.
So there's
it.
No, and that's a problem
yeah.
with you funding something. The Congress has to change this. I
yeah,
think,
right.
And
but
because
the,
it's not
yeah,
going to yeah.
With the VA, pushing this,
sure.
which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
You know,
the VA is going to stand in line with whatever where the Congress is, where the law is of the land
yeah.
is what the VA is going to go by. So
yeah.
there's following a lockstep and key
yeah.
if. The, mm-hmm. if the government, federal government says marijuana is bad, even if they enforce it or not enforce it, the military is going to say marijuana is bad.
See, this specifically says medical marijuana.
Yeah.
specifically says medical marijuana.
Well,
marijuana.
Yeah, because I'm saying the VA is going to pay for it.
Yeah.
I mean, if the VA is going to pay for it, then
it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Until the law changes.
Yeah, the law has to change.
Yeah.
And it might be good for some. It's going to be good for some people, but for some some people, it's not going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, marijuana for some people is just not a good thing. I don't think it's universally good for all.
Are you in favor of the bill?
You know, I want to see some research. I'm concerned about veterans who those that have for medical marijuana, fine.
Yeah.
I have no problem with medical marijuana.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. That's what the bill
is. Yeah, the bill is that.
Your doctor is giving you a prescription.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
It's a drug just like any other drug.
Exactly.
I mean, people take drugs.
Rochelle,
right.
What do you think about that?
If you can support, or not support, but say if you can allow alcohol, alcohol is way more deadly than marijuana. I mean, every research study shows that alcohol would kill you faster.
But the VA doesn't buy your bottle of Wild Irish Rose. No.
And I'm sorry you said that, too, because, you know.
I've been missing out.
I drink a lot.
Somebody said to me, I don't drink and drive because I don't want to spill it.
I love that. That's great. Rochelle, what do you think about that?
Well, I'm torn between the two,
you know, because
I understand that they've done some research on it. They think it will help, veterans with their issues.
Right.
But also, I think they still have to learn how to function and cope with those things that are going on in terms of, so if they want to get jobs, this is what we always say about the younger people, too. If they want to go get jobs and things like that, have they yet put into place a law that says you can't give them a drug test or you can't? You understand what I'm saying? So we have to look at that also, because are we cutting off some pieces of things that may help them get better if, in fact, they get into an environment that is going to be healthy for them, like working or, volunteering in places and stuff like that? So that's where I'm torn at.
Let's take another caller. I'll tell you the one thing here that about medical marijuana. My problem is that I did some work for a group that was in favor of marijuana, and everybody thought, Cliff smokes pot, and I said, no, that's not true. I don't think taking hot gas into your lungs is a good thing. You want marijuana?
Right.
Eat it.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? That's
Makes more sense. Because there are people out here who believe that smoking marijuana is okay for you, but cigarettes are bad. But smoking marijuana has some adverse effects.
Taking gas into your lungs is bad.
Taking even vaping is bad for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's take another clip here. Trump National Security Team military officials are meeting about Venezuela.
The Trump administration has also made the claim that Russia is very much involved in propping up the Maduro regime. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told my colleague Wolf Blitzer yesterday that there was a plane waiting to take Maduro to Cuba, but the Russians talked him out of it. What exactly is the Russian role here?
Look, the Russians like nothing better than putting a thumb in our eye. They're using the Cubans as surrogates. They'd love to get effective control of a country in this hemisphere. It's not ideological. It's just good old-fashioned power politics. That's why we have the Monroe Doctrine, which we're dusting off in this administration. It's why the president indicated last night that the Cubans better think long and hard about what their role is.
What has the president said to Vladimir Putin on this subject?
We've made it clear to the Russians in a lot of conversations at a lot of different levels, some of which are going to continue today, why we think this behavior is unacceptable to us. Those conversations are going to go on, but we're not going to limit ourselves to conversations. We're taking steps. We're putting more pressure on the Maduro regime. The effect of the economic sanctions already imposed are drying up revenues to Maduro. He won't be able to pay the service members. He won't be able to put gas in their Jeeps. This is having a profound effect, and it's a cumulative effect over time.
What do you think about the situation with Venezuela?
I think the president needs to do something. He's met with Putin. Putin said he has no interest in Venezuela, which is not true. He's got over 100 troops on the ground. He's got planes on the ground in Venezuela. Venezuela has a lot of oil, and they're strategically placed. I mean, they're at the northern tip of South America. They would love to put army base, a military base in Venezuela, and the president needs to recognize that and do something about it, because Putin is slowly going to creep into South America, and then he can attack from any, he can take over parts of South America, Central America, United States is right there, and
and actually our commander-in-chief, unfortunately, constantly is helping him.
Yeah, he's helping
him. He's helping him. We got the situation.
Syria.
Yeah. Yeah, if we can get this other clip in, because it's the same type of thing. Next clip.
Time for that?
Yeah.
Well, it's been described by the Kremlin as the first contact between the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, and the North Korean leader. The two nations share a land border that Kim Jong-un traveled across in a special armored train after being seen off at a formal ceremony in Pyongyang. Details of the visit have been kept secret, but preparations for the meeting have been made for days here in the far eastern Russian city of Vladivostok on the Pacific coast. North Korea and Russian flags appearing in the streets amid tightened security, especially around the train station here and the conference center hosting the talks. This is an important summit for the North Korean dictator, who wants to broaden his international alliances as he seeks to ease Pyongyang's economic hardship. Along with China, Russia is a key supporter, often accused of turning a blind eye to UN sanctions against North Korea. Russia is a major destination for North Korea's migrant workers, a valuable source of hard currency to the impoverished North Korean state. The meeting also comes after the latest nuclear talks between Kim and President Trump failed to produce any agreements. This may be the North Korean leader's way of showing the U.S. it is not isolated and has other powerful Russian friends. For its part, the Kremlin says this summit with Kim Jong-un is also about denuclearization on the Korean Peninsula. Russia, too, is uncomfortable with a nuclear-armed North Korean neighbor. But it's also about Russia asserting itself once again on the international stage. He may have been sidelined by the high-profile Trump-Kim summits that have dominated the headlines.
We know that the Soviet Putin's doing a good job, that's for sure. Let's take a caller before we take our break. Renee, thank you for calling.
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And, Governor, it was good seeing you at the Teachers Union Forum
on Wednesday.
Yeah,
thank you. You folks did a great job there. Thank you so much. I appreciate the compliment. Yeah.
Thank you. And I have a question. I want to know, as far as the people of Venezuela, the regular, ordinary citizens who have been hurt by these sanctions, would it be any worse for Putin to be over there if he's trying to help the people of Venezuela and they're elected, their democratically elected leader, than it would be for our right-wing racist president to go over there, and all he wants is control of the oil? He's supporting all these right-wing new leaders, like the leader of Brazil as well, who is racist. He hasn't done anything good. I'd be more afraid for their people to have us in charge or placing the person that we want to lead their country, even though he was not elected by the people.
Good point, Renee. Let's talk about our financial expert here. Sean, respond to Renee.
Well, I think definitely Russia. I'm still concerned that Russia is moving into South America at any step of the way, because Russia is a very corrupt and very unhappy nation as far as the population there. The global influence of Russia and China is pushing out U.S. influence pretty much everywhere around the world. This administration is not the first administration or the last administration that we have. So we have to think beyond Trump and think of beyond 20 years from now, what is the landscape going to look like? And what types of forces, economic forces and military forces we have. South America has a lot of problems. I mean, you have the drug cartels that are running wild down there. I mean, threatening government leaders and everything. And now you have Russia down there. You think Russia's going to do anything to help the people? Russia doesn't care about the people. They're in there for the same interest that the United States would be in there for, or any major global power.
Well, yeah.
Or
yeah,
oil, major. And of course, to have a position. It's just like when they moved into Cuba during the missile crisis. We didn't want them in our hemisphere.
Right.
We talked about the dusting off the Monroe Doctrine that talked about isolationism in this Western Hemisphere. We don't want the Russians in the Western Hemisphere.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good comments. Okay, yeah. Please stay tuned to America's Heroes Group. We'll be back because we're on now, you know, not from 4 to 5, but from 4 to 6. And we'll continue with our great people here on the panel. We know they'll be here because we've locked the door.
They call those escape rooms or something. Right. Remember those escape rooms they have that people are in?
Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Okay.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
When you were a little kid and you thought about what you wanted to be, teaching was at the top of your list. But things changed, and as you got older, teaching didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you're thinking you'll be something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Now you want to be a doctor. You don't think teachers save lives? 25 at a time. An actress? Try playing a different role every time the bell rings. How about a scientist? Ever heard of physics? Chemistry? Who do you think teaches that? Teachers today are breaking down obstacles, finding innovative ways to instill old lessons, and taking learning far beyond the four walls of the classroom. It's time to recognize that great things are happening in teaching and put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
I'm Sally, a volunteer at United Way. I'm asking people around the neighborhood what they think this place needs. Excuse me. Hi. What do you think this place needs?
I'd like to see more parking.
More playgrounds.
Free movies.
That's easy. Better restaurants.
And you, what do you think this place needs?
This place? More ice cream trucks.
Okay. How about you?
Wi-Fi everywhere?
I was thinking more money in the pockets of local families come tax time.
Can I change my answer?
I was just kidding about the ice cream.
Oh, that's way better.
Now that you mention it.
When it comes to getting better tax refunds into the hands of local families, what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org. Because great things happen when we live united. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired, and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared to veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Eastlake Management is proud to honor America's heroes. We salute all who have served with valor in the U.S. Armed Forces. We honor your courage and sacrifice for our country and its citizens. We are proud of our employees who are U.S. veterans, and we appreciate the strength and commitment that they bring to the Eastlake team. Eastlake Management, founded in 1983, is dedicated to delivering affordable, comfortable housing to the residents at the properties we manage. Eastlake proudly salutes America's heroes.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the America's Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlements. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services.
We're located at 7907 South Racine in Chicago, Illinois.
And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are those solely of the broadcaster and not necessarily those of WVON, Midway Broadcasting Corporation, or our participating sponsors.
May is Health Awareness Month. Did you know nearly 13,000 women in the United States are diagnosed with cervical cancer each year? While this may sound scary, don't worry. The disease is preventable with vaccination, and regular screenings increase chances of early intervention. This healthy reminder is brought to you by Next Level Health.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Kelly on WVON AM 1690.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. It is Saturday, May 4th. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is, of course, America's Heroes Group. I am pleased to be the host of America's Heroes Group. This is our second hour today, and we're so pleased to have a second hour from WVON. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith. Our digital media producer is Manny Corazzari. And our panelist now is Sean Claiborne, who is a financial awareness and educational information. He's going to give us all of that for our military population and communities. America's Heroes Group, we are the globally connected roundtable. And before we go to talking about that certain issue, we're going to take a caller who's been holding. Derek, how you doing, sir?
How you doing, Cliff?
I'm good, Derek. Thanks for holding. Appreciate it.
So to you. Wow, man. Mm-hmm. But the reason I call is I wanted to ask you if Russia is our adversary and, well, Trump is trying to make my ally, but if they're our adversary, why are they allowed to have a nuclear weapon and they don't want Kim Jong-un to have one or even Iran? Is it nationalism?
Derek, you asked a very good question. And particularly with the person we have now who is commander in chief. But, you know, you make an excellent point. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I think we're going to have to, this is an issue that we're going to have to talk about. In fact, I promise we'll. In fact, if there is a world next week,
right?
Yeah, because
it makes a good point. Because I mean,
yes,
how do you prevent someone from exercising their own free will and their own borders? I mean, you say, well, in my country, I can do whatever I want to do in my country, but I'm gonna tell you what to do in your house.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just a hard thing to really get your head around. So.
You make an excellent point. Keep listening. Thank you so much, Derek. Appreciate you. That's something that we really ought to spend some time, and we will.
Yeah,
and we will. Sean, tell us about this financial awareness and educational information for our military population and communities.
there's a lot of important things that, Cliff, that veterans need to know. And also, one of the things America Heroes Groups does is basically try to build our veteran community with knowledge and power. And one of those things, of course, is money. Money is an extreme great resource and tool to help you improve your life and do things with your life. You know, some great things going on in the economy right now. So in April of this year, the unemployment rate decreased to 3.6%. Okay, that's really critical because that's the lowest it's been since 1969. You know, we have relatively low interest rates, which is one of the causes of this. It's been that way for years. It's been making borrowing easier for employers, which means they can, you know, pay their employees. And people don't realize that low interest rates actually help employers because a lot of employers pay their employees through revolving credit. So when they have lower interest rates, it means they're paying less money out the door to banks on payroll. So it makes it easier for them to pay more people. And that's a really powerful thing, and even for small businesses. So plus, there's been higher than expected corporate earnings this last few quarters. This last quarter was great. This month, the May numbers that came out this last week were awesome. And then, not to be overlooked, there's been a huge tax cut, which affected corporate earnings. May not have affected as much as the bottom line for everyday Americans, but the higher tax brackets of corporations got a huge tax break in 2018. I mean, between J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo, they got about $1 trillion back in tax revenue. Okay, that's huge. The side effect of this was, of course, a booming stock market. So that's what we've been seeing since the last quarter. You know, this past quarter, 2018, the end of 2018 was a slight slip, but we saw a huge increase this year in this quarter. Whether or not that continues is yet to be seen, because we have to be kind of tepid and cautious, of course, whenever you start hitting these all-time highs. So the thing is, how has this been kind of been faring for our veterans?
Right.
So the 2016 Department of Veterans Affairs survey, that's the most recent data we have, and this is from the National Center for Veterans and Analysts and Statistics. The unemployment rate for vets was lower than non-vets. So against the stereotype, which we talk a lot about, people have this image. We even had callers call in today about the veteran underneath the bridge is homeless.
Right.
The unemployment rate for non-vets was 4.45%. So what we call civilians in the military community, 4.45% for civilians or non-vets, 3.7% for veterans. Veterans typically are hard workers, typically are successful, typically are able to get into managerial jobs and get the higher earnings, typically, when you look across the board. Veterans, because of their training and also because of their dedication and also their discipline, usually employers tend to look for that, and it makes them prime candidates for opportunities for employment. But we got to talk about these other issues as well, though, when it comes to PTSD and also health issues and things of that nature that can hinder some veterans from reaching their full potential. So well over 70% of Vietnam-era vets are retired right now or about to retire, and that's from the 2015 data as well. It was about 70%, but now you're figuring it's probably well over 70% is getting ready to retire. In 2015, there's a little less than 6.5 million Vietnam vets out there right now. So 6.5 million Vietnam vets are thinking about retirement or in retirement. So one of the key things that you want to start thinking about is, what should vets be doing in retirement? You know, now that you're retired, what do you do? So income is one of the biggest concerns for veterans, and also for people that are, you know, looking for ways to retire and also ways to stretch a dollar. And that's one of the things we want to talk about, is how do you maximize retirement, particularly for our veteran community that are in retirement right now. The largest percentage of our veteran population are going to be retirees and then over the next 10 years. So how do they fare in retirement? There's a plethora of ways, many different ways and benefits for veterans to take advantage of, and also, but it's not just a matter of just using these benefits and applying for the benefits, but you have to use them in the right way. So maximizing the benefits, having access to the benefits, and what we talked about a lot, Cliff, was how do you get access to the benefits? Because the information is not always out there. It's not readily available for everybody. So one of the things that we have to do is utilize the veteran service organizations like America's Heroes Group. Use groups like ours, which are a resource and a hub for information and referrals. So using our resource, going to our website, going to talking to people like Rochelle, who's head of the National Women's Veterans United, the DAV, America's Heroes Group. You have groups coming in every single week on this show that we talk about that have
access to different benefits and help you get benefits. So what do these groups do? They basically give you the information, in some cases actually help you get access to veteran benefits or provide benefits directly to you. So as a retiree, you want to tap into that resource. Use our website, use the many websites that are out there, mm-hmm. whether it's a DAV or AHG, America's Heroes Group, or any other organization, to access the care and the facilities and the benefits that you're entitled to. So the thing is, you know, you're going to see more VSOs come on board in the days and years to come on AHG, so we'll have a bigger network and a bigger array of information to disseminate to the population, which I think is really critical.
I just want to say that our financial advisor on our board here, Sharon Claiborne, gives us some excellent work. I mean, that's what he does as a living. And if you have a question as he continues, please call us, 312-374-8130.
All right.
Sean, go right ahead.
Yeah, there's things to consider. One of the things we talked about was income. You know, so how mm-hmm. do you generate more income? One of the things I wanted to go over are some key ways to improve your income, particularly in retirement. Some issues, the things I work with clients all the time on, and things that we talk about in our discussions are topics of how do you generate income. The biggest one I talk about is your home. How do you, looking at your home and looking at your where you live, how do you make that more efficient? Now, this is extremely controversial, and also often it's a lot of information out there that kind of leads you in the wrong direction. It's a very emotional topic for a lot of people, particularly for someone who's retired. Because a lot of times you've been in that home for a long time, and it's very difficult to make changes because you feel like, you know, you don't, the one thing you want to protect is your home and the roof over your head.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of emotional connections, a lot of history in that house,
sure.
and you want to protect that. But one of the things you've got to look at is utilizing, you know, the VA loan. Look at the VA mortgage loan. That could be a tool to refinance your mortgage. A lot of veterans are paying way too much on the interest rate that they have. That's critical because 35% of veterans have not paid off their home and they're retired right now. One of the main things we want to see as a financial advisor is when you retire, we want to hopefully have your home paid off. Now, there's some mm-hmm. advice might tell you, you know, do something risky and try to get a loan against it or do whatever. Well, the best thing to do if you can do this during your lifetime is try to pay off your home. That's one of the biggest expenses and biggest mm-hmm. drains on your income in retirement. Now, if you haven't done that, then you got to maximize and have a long conversation about how do you do that, or how do you generate the lowest monthly payment, and also think about what are you going to do with this house when you pass on.
Now, if you have paid off your house mm-hmm. and you're a veteran and you're retiring, should you borrow against it or what?
I don't advise that.
You don't advise that?
I don't advise that. I think that's a bad idea personally. Okay. I've heard the argument is you can borrow against and use that money to invest or do different things, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big mistake.
Okay.
Unless you're up against the wall and you have no other option, you have something pressing, like maybe a major surgery, or you have to, mm-hmm. you know, do something that, you know, this has to be done, which is very rare in most mm-hmm. cases. You're mm-hmm. going into a nursing home, for example, and nobody in your family wants the house.
Yeah.
So either sell the house or maybe borrow against it to cover some kind of medical expense.
Mm-hmm.
There's other ways, though. That's probably still the last resort, I would say,
mm-hmm.
in most cases. You know, besides, I would rather sell the home first rather than borrowing against it or doing something
oh, really?
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's better just to sell the house outright, get the cash out of the house, and then use it for whatever you're going to do with. In most cases, most people will transition from, in that situation, are going to probably go into a facility or maybe move in with relatives.
We are so pleased to be getting this great information from Sharon Claiborne. Let's take a caller. Joan, hi. Thanks for calling America's Heroes Group.
Hi, Joan.
Oh,
my name is Joan, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm sitting here, just pulled over listening. I have a brother who is a veteran, and I'm trying to figure out what is the best way to assist him. We recently moved him into an assisted living home on last year because him and his wife both had some issues. She went in the nursing home, dementia, and so we had to help him. So we put him in the, got him assisted living, and he's been there. It'll be going on a year, maybe in June. But, you know, I'm trying to figure out what is the best way. Is that where we should have him? I'm just, as a veteran, I'm trying to find out benefits and what's the best way to help him.
Is he living in an apartment? Does he have his own home? Or what is his living?
No, he lives in an assisted living.
Okay.
They lost their home, so he lives in a, he was actually homeless.
Okay.
So he is in an assisted living facility.
And how's that being paid for?
Well, you know, he gets his veteran check, benefit check, so that's being paid for like that.
Okay. I'm actually a big fan of good assisted living facilities. I've had a few clients actually live in them, and they've been very happy. I mean, the previous conditions they were living in were not good, similar to what your brother was going through, and now they're in a much better situation, having the time of their life. The key thing is, though, making sure they're in the right facility. So you have make sure you visit that facility, keep tabs on that facility to make sure he's getting the care he needs. Assisted living is different from being in a full-blown nursing home. So because you're getting some help, but you're not completely dependent on somebody feeding you or things like that typically in assisted living. But so depending on what his condition is, you still want to visit to make sure that he has, A, clean facilities. Some assisted living facilities give you your own privacy, so you have your own private room. Some do not. Sometimes you're sharing a room with somebody. Is his roommate, are they compatible? No, those are the types of things you want to look at and see. And then in the meantime, ask him, talk to him. You know, how is his mental capacity? Is he someone you can talk to, or is he somewhat that lucid?
No, he is. He does suffer with that SPD. Is that what
PTSD?
It is?
PTSD.
PDS, I'm sorry.
That's all right. We know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he, of course, sometimes forget. But we actually go and see about him.
Okay.
And check things out. But I was just trying to wonder, because sometimes he said he doesn't like the place. And, and then sometimes he forgets. But we do check on him.
Okay.
Definitely check on him. But I'm just trying to figure out, as a veteran, I'm wondering, is this the best place for him?
Now, could you take him into your home? Or is there a family member that could watch him or take care of him?
No, and that's the whole reason why we put, had him to move into assisted living. He can take care of himself. He can, it's just that sometimes he do forget.
Joan, at the end of the show, we're going to give you a number that you can call us.
Oh, okay. That'll be great.
All right, and thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Thank you for taking my call.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you
for calling. Sean, continue. What else?
Well, she touched on a good point, because that's one of the major things that are big drains in retirement is health care. Health care is the next thing we wanted to talk about, because it's important. When you retire, especially when you get to the age of 65, you're eligible for Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between – people get this confused often. I get this question a lot, Medicare, and they're just Medicaid. Okay, Medicare, everyone gets when they're 65.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you turn 65, when you apply for Medicare, you want to do that and get also a Medicare supplement. I cannot stress this enough. There's too many, particularly veterans, that don't ask the question and don't have a medical supplement to marry to their benefits. Now, some veterans are actually just covered by the VA, so they're 100% covered. That's about 20% roughly. I think the numbers were somewhere around there.
That's Medicare they get when they're
Medicare, not care, Medicaid,
yeah.
Right? Okay, Medicaid is a whole other ballpark.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of we'll talk about that in a little bit later. But Medicare is what everyone is entitled to. If you can get Social Security, you can get Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
gotcha.
So Medicare is what you apply for, and that covers 80% of most of your health care needs. But there's the 20% that you got to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Now that's where your supplements come in, Part D and Part G. You know, everybody, all the time I hear people go on the radio or on TV and they say, talk about supplements, but they don't recommend which ones make the most sense. Now, every situation is different, and it's not a blanket advice to go out and get these two supplements, but Part D and Part G are typically the most useful supplements to get, because they cover pretty much everything that you're going to be needing in your medical expenses. Part D is your prescriptions and your medication. Part G covers that what we call the donut hole, or the gaps in Medicare. So the things that Medicare does not cover, Medicare Part G is the thing that will cover pretty much most of that. So your expenses will drop dramatically by having that. I had a client, for example, that had maybe she was paying about $4,000 a year because she had extensive medical bills. Now she's paying like $300 or $400 a year.
That's great.
You know, so that's a typical scenario with the Medicare Part G. You want to shop around when you're doing your Part D, as an aside, because whatever medications you're taking, not all Medicare Part D plans take those medications.
Okay. You got to determine what you are taking.
Exactly. So you have to call the insurance carrier and make sure that they cover your medications.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they may have to switch you out or do something different, or you have to go with a different supplier. Also, sometimes Medicare Advantage programs work well, too, particularly for government employees. Now, veterans, a high number of veterans go into the government system. They may opt for a Medicare Advantage program. You know, we've had some people on our show before that offer Medicare Advantage programs. And what they do, they work like a PPO or almost like an HMO sort of kind of a situation. They basically give you a bunch of services under the Medicare system that basically covers almost everything that you would possibly need. But it's at their facility. So you can't go to any doctor that you want to go to. You have to go to their doctors and their facilities in order to take advantage of it. So, but for government employees, they usually have access to the better Medicare Advantage programs.
You've given us some great information on that. Tell us, if you will, Sean, about what should vets be doing in retirement?
Well, one thing also, too, I would say two things that you want to do is update your information, update your beneficiaries and all your accounts. This is something that is always overlooked, often overlooked. Go to the bank and go through every single account that you own. Go to your investment firm, your brokerage account. Update every account that you have, your retirement accounts, IRAs. And even now, particularly here in Cook County and many counties across Illinois and even counties across the entire country now, United States, you can actually put a beneficiary on your home. So you can actually name who's going to get your property, your residential property, with a form that you record. In Illinois and Cook County, it's called the transfer on death instrument. It's an actual physical form you fill out. It costs about $50. You file it with the Cook County Recorder of Deeds, and you actually can name as many beneficiaries as you want on your personal property. And that avoids a lot of headache, God forbid, you know, you pass on.
Yeah, that's something I'm sure a lot of people have no idea about. Yeah, that's great.
Things happen, you know, Cliff, because, like, you know, people... You know, records often get out of date. There's a death in the family, marriage, divorces, grandkids, new grandkids being born. Even a lot of times the institutions themselves, you say, oh, I know I updated that a couple of years ago, 5 years ago, everything was up to date. And then the bank gets bought out that you had, or the firm changes, or your advisor leaves. And then all of a sudden the records get lost. I have seen that so many times where, you know, things end up in probate court because you thought everything was up to date, but you don't go every year to update and just check on your beneficiaries. I just had a lady that swore up and down that her beneficiaries were up to date. And then one phone call, we find out that for 5 years, she had the wrong beneficiaries on her account. You know, it was just a clerical error. There was the wrong people would have inherited half of her estate.
Unbelievable. So how has this moving economy that you talked about earlier, Sean, how has that fared for veterans?
I think it's helped veterans a lot because of the fact that unemployment numbers are low. But the difference is in this economy is that wages have not really kept up with the inflation mainly. So as wages have not creeped up, you're starting to see more people working more two and three jobs a lot of times to maintain the current lifestyle. It's not like it was back in the booming 90s or the early 2000s when you had, you know, a roaring economy, you can make tons of money doing one job. Now you're seeing people working two and three jobs and also see the digital economy popping up. And I see a lot of people going out there taking advantage of things like Uber and going out and taking advantage of, you know, they're driving for Amazon and doing these part-time jobs at the house. They're boxing stuff at UPS, you know, doing all these little part-time jobs to cover their lifestyle. Now, once again, it goes back to managing cash flow. Going back to the first thing, look at where you live. That's usually your biggest expense, okay? Now, we can go on. There's many things you can do, but that's one of the biggest things that you want to look at is how do you manage your home expense? Think about possibly, if necessary, maybe going in with other family members, maybe going in with a roommate, maybe refinancing your mortgage. You know, there's a lot of, like, going back to that first point about your mortgage, people get the information oftentimes that you don't want to refinance because they're afraid I'm going to get another 30-year mortgage, I'm going to get another long-term thing.
Yeah.
That's a legitimate concern, okay? But it all depends on what your situation is. I was actually at a financial workshop. And there was a group that was actually said, oh, my God, you should never, ever refinance your house if you're 60 years old or 50 years old or 80 years old or whatever, because now you got a 30-year mortgage you got to worry about. But the problem is that they're not looking at the whole picture. If you're getting a lower interest rate, you can always still pay it off in the same time frame you had before. All you got to do is make the same payment. But if you have a lower interest rate, and say, for example, you're paying $1,000 a month, okay? And that's what you're paying, but your interest rate is 7%, which is common. That's a realistic number today.
Sure.
Okay. So you're paying $1,000 at 7%, and then you refinance it in a 15 or 30 year at 3.5%. Okay. You can still go ahead and keep paying $1,000 a month, But guess what? You're going to pay your house off 3 or 4 years sooner. That's the difference. You know, so don't be afraid because the bank says you have, we're going to give you a 30-year time commitment or a 30-year opportunity to pay your mortgage. That's not what you have to do if you don't want to. Just pay it off as you want to pay it off. You want to pay it off early, pay it off early, but get the cheapest rate.
I want to tell you, Sean, you've given us some great information. Of course, you always do. He's one of our regular members here at America's Heroes Group. But Sean Claiborne, financial awareness and educational information for our military population and communities. I want to thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
Great information. Okay.
All right.
Right. So much. Stay with us now. This is America's Heroes Group on WVON 1690. We'll be back with more in just a moment. And, of course, I want you to know we always take calls, 312-374-8130. We've got another great half an hour coming up, America's Heroes Group. We are a globally connected roundtable, and we're going to give you some more information. Stay with us.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
I'm Sally, a volunteer at United Way. I'm asking people around the neighborhood what they think this place needs. Excuse me, hi. What do you think this place needs?
I'd like to see more parking.
More playgrounds.
Free movies.
That's easy. Better restaurants.
And you, what do you think this place needs?
This place? More ice cream trucks.
Okay. how about you?
Wi-Fi everywhere?
I was thinking more money in the pockets of local families come tax time.
Can I change my answer?
I was just kidding about the ice cream.
Oh, that's way better.
Now that you mention it.
When it comes to getting better tax refunds into the hands of local families, what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org. Because great things happen when we live united. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, WVON host and honored veteran, inviting you to listen every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. as I host America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power regarding the treatment of veterans, retired, and active, discussing concerns for affordable housing, social services, Medicare, and all services geared to veterans. America's Heroes Group, where we speak truth to power. Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, S-E-I-D-M-A-N, law.net.
Eastlake Management is proud to honor America's heroes. We salute all who have served with valor in the U.S. Armed Forces. We honor your courage and sacrifice for our country and its citizens. We are proud of our employees who are U.S. veterans, and we appreciate the strength and commitment that they bring to the Eastlake team. Eastlake Management, founded in 1983, is dedicated to delivering affordable, comfortable housing to the residents at the properties we manage. Eastlake proudly salutes America's heroes.
Hi, we're the National Women Veterans United, the proud sponsors and partners of the America's Hero Group.
Our mission is to ensure that women veterans are aware and have access to their VA benefits, resources, and entitlements. We monitor current or pending legislation that may impact VA eligibility and services.
We're located at 7907 South Racine in Chicago, Illinois.
And we provide a safe place for women to come relax. We have a meditation room. They can get food, clothing, housewares, whatever emergency services they may need.
We're the only Women Veterans Center in the state of Illinois. We are members of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard, National Guard, and the Reserves.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube. We're everywhere. Get social with us. The Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM, WVON.
Good afternoon. This is the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. I'm Cliff Kelly. It's Saturday, May 4th. We are on iHeartRadio. All you need to do is download the app to your smartphone or tablet and take us with you wherever. You can go to WVON.com. You can call us direct. We are always pleased to have you. Call in 312-374-8130. And you can get social, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. America's Heroes Group, we are globally connected as a roundtable, and we are going to talk about something right now that is really important for the veterans. We have two gentlemen in our studio. We are pleased to have us. Let me always say this. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith, and our digital media producer, who does such a great job, is Manny Corazzari. He's with us, as always. With us at our studio, we have Larry Nazemek, who is an Air Force veteran and vice chairman of Coalition Veterans Organization. How are you, sir?
I'm just having a ball, and how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being with us. And we have our old friend, Dr. Mark Wyman, who is an Army veteran and a dentist. And we have had him here a number of times. He's looking great.
Thanks, Cliff.
He said he retired. Did you?
Oh, Cliff. It's tough sometimes, but sometimes you just put the data together and you realize it's the right time.
Okay.
But I'm not retiring from everything.
That's
this
good.
This project
good.
That Larry and I are working
great.
On, it means so
That's
much
like
to us.
That's like people saying, I'm not retiring either, so I know exactly
there you
what
go,
you're
Cliff.
Talking
I
about.
Understand completely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And you're working with Larry. That's great that you're doing that. And tell us about this. This is a very important thing. Title 38, United States Code to require, this is to amend the code to require the Secretary of Veterans Affairs to furnish dental care in the same manner as any other medical service and for other purposes.
Cliff.
Tell us, that sounds great.
Larry has done such a good job with this bill. We've got 49 congresspeople that have signed on to pass it through already.
Great.
And we're just trying to show that we can save money by doing it, we can do what's right for the veterans by doing it, and we can also do a heck of a lot of good for society by doing it. And we look at it as like a crisis, Cliff, and a crisis that we're really committed to solving. And I guess I'm swiping a line when I say great crises sometimes are marked by great moments.
Yeah.
And I think Churchill said that once. I think Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld said it. Well, I just want to say, Cliff, thank you very much for having us on your program. This is a fun thing
what
for
we
us.
Do. Yeah, oh, no, this is a great thing. The people like you is the reason we have the program.
Thank
you know
you.
That. Larry, this is just great. Tell us more about it.
Well, there is no question that we should be given the dental care. It was important when we were in uniform. Why is it important now? And every military unit through the U.S. military throughout the world, they have to make their daily status reports concerning combat readiness. They have to tell how many people have medical appointments with to see a doctor of dentistry, a doctor of medicine, a doctor of podiatry. It doesn't matter because it's all the same. Now that we're out of uniform, the government doesn't seem to think that it's that important. But if you talk to the VA, they're going to say, don't blame us. We're just doing it what Congress says we should, and that's what our limits are. If you got a problem with that, you go to Congress. So that's where the HR 96 comes in.
That's great. You got a problem like with that, you go to Congress.
Yeah.
So that's what you've done.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when we were on your show previously, we were talking about, we thought it would be so easy.
Right.
There are certain ones that we were really focusing on, and one of them was Mike Boss, the Marine veteran. He's been active in.
I remember,
he's done a lot. Mm-hmm. And we said that we had to go through his staffer, and writing him was like writing to Santa Claus. We were just not getting any reply. Well, I finally got a reply, but here's what it took. Felicia Mitterbrooks of WVBM comes up with her thought for the day, like a nice quote, and she had this one that says...
Wonderful lady.
Yeah, so she had this one that says, no response is a response, and it's a powerful one. So
true.
I wrote back and I used that, and
that's true.
And then I says, "Hey, we're veterans here. We deserve a response." Mm-hmm. And they responded, "You know, well, we're thinking about things like the cost factor and whether or not the VA has the capability and danced around. But at least I got a response."
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So tell us exactly what's in the bill.
The bill just saying that it's going to require the VA to treat dental care like everything else.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, though, would be surprised over the fact that it isn't treated like everything else.
Kind of Larry brought this to my interest a while ago, and he asked if I'd work with the group to show the nuts and bolts why it's justified for dentistry to be treated like all other medical conditions.
Yeah.
And in many ways, I like to think of myself as a hired gun for the veterans group. And if technical problems, I love it too.
I
love it, Cliff, and I'm honored to assume this position. Right. If technical problems come up by denying veterans dental care, I like to really show the public the nuts and bolts of the problem. One problem that we're dealing with today, I just looked at the Tribune this morning before I came over here, is the opioid epidemic.
Okay. Sure.
Now, I know from 40 years practicing dentistry that if I delay treatment for whatever reason, and then I eventually am put in a position where I have to cure the patient and get him out of trouble, it is much more difficult to get the patient out of trouble if we've delayed treatment until it becomes very, very, very significant. If I could deal with it in an incipient stage, I could have a much greater chance of getting the patient out of trouble without having to give the patient opioids. And I've been reading a lot of data that's been accumulated about the opioids. 6 to 8% of the people that are experiencing opioid addiction problems are first introduced to the opioids through dental care.
Wow.
That's too hard.
Yeah.
It's hard on the person that's addicted.
Yeah.
But as we saw in the Tribune this morning, on the very first page, the very first article, it's about this little boy, 5 years old, whose parents beat him up and literally killed him.
Oh, yes. I know.
And then they buried
him. Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I read through the article, and it said, and it basically quoted a previous husband of the young lady who had the child.
Mm-hmm.
She was a delightful woman until she became addicted to opioids.
Wow.
For many people, it is very, very difficult to break the addiction problem.
Now, is that primarily, what do you take that for? For pain, is that it? Or
if the pain is very, very significant,
yeah,
a lot of dentists, a lot of healthcare professionals will give opioids to get
is
the patients
right?
out of trouble.
Okay.
On a previous show, you were nice enough to have Dr. Larry Zager, an oral surgeon.
Yes, right.
All of us are recognizing,
right.
Cliff, this tremendous problem of opioid abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry has been doing research,
right.
and in many cases he's been trying, as opposed to giving the patient opioids, he gives various combinations of ibuprofen and acetaminophen. And he's been getting very good results.
Okay.
Now, I've got to put a caveat in. Larry has very, very good hands. So when he does these dissection procedures, he's very gentle in treating the patient. A lot of them probably don't have really significant pain issues. But he's just so talented. And if he can come up with various techniques to dodge the opioid abuse problem, I'm in.
That's great. Doctor, what Nazemak, tell us how you've got a number of members of Congress, you said, there behind H.R. 96.
Yeah, we have 49 among the Democrats, and we're still trying to get our first Republican. Why should this be a partisan issue? I don't know.
That makes no sense at all.
But I will say that for the state of Illinois, we got 10, which is more than any other state.
That's great.
More than any other state.
That's because of you, right?
I don't take credit for all. I'm just one of many. But I would like that all your listeners, you know, to see if your congressman's on the list. Well, the ones in Chicago proper are. But, like, there's Lauren Underwood. She hasn't signed. She replaced them.
And she's new.
Yeah, I know. She's on the Veterans Affairs Committee.
Yes, and she hasn't signed?
Nope. And she replaced the guy, you know, we had two Republicans before who were co-sponsors, and Randy Holcren. She replaced Holcren. Well, Holcren was one of the first to sign on as a co-sponsor, and I know he was interviewed on WFLD about the issue. And we didn't even have to approach him. We just saw that it was a good thing, and he signed on.
I'm glad to see, I'm looking at the list that was just given me, that some of the congressmen who have signed on, as was just mentioned, a number of them from Illinois. Mike Quigley is on, and so is Dan Lipinski, so is Danny K. Davis, and we're pleased to have him. Bobby Rush is also a signatory. All of those are from Illinois, of course, and that's a good thing. You know, because anybody who knows, having problems with your teeth can really do a job on you.
There's no question.
I mean, there's so many other problems, which, you know, that it brings about, right?
Cliff, I could keep you going by showing the correlations between orthopedic surgery complications and dental issues, cardiac complications and dental issues, diabetic complications and dental issues, pregnancy complications and dental issues. We could just go on and on and on. But right now, the opioid issue
really
seems
debate,
it's really on the first page. But can I just correct something?
Sure.
Leary doesn't take credit for the good job that we're presently doing in Illinois, and I have to take exception to that. I have never seen a gentleman work harder for an issue than this gentleman has. Thank you, Larry.
That's great. No, and I thank you, too, and so do all of us. It's just it's horrific that the Secretary of Veteran Affairs, you would think if a veteran comes in, you'd get the service that you need. I mean, dental care, why not?
It doesn't seem logical, Cliff. No. We're working on it.
Oh, yeah, I'm so happy you are.
I'm sure if we present the right data to him, he will be amenable to the change. We have various things in the future on our agenda. We're looking at trying to get more covered in the VA system, but also we're looking, Cliff, and a lot of this has to do with the producer of the program, Glenda Smith. We were getting ready to conduct a meeting, and Glenda called me right before the start of the meeting, and I was scheduled to give a lecture on the correlations between so many different medical problems and dental care. And Glenda said something to the effect, move forward quicker. This is a very important issue. We've got to take decisive action. We've got to step up and help out the veterans. About the same time, Larry and I became aware that somebody that we knew very well had just passed away. And I was asked to write part of the obituary. And this had been a classmate of mine in dental school. All right, so my part of the obituary is the dental school environment where this gentleman and I spent time. One of the other fellows in our veteran group had spent time on the ground in the jungle in Vietnam with him. He spent time discussing what Dave did on the ground in the jungle. And can I just tell you a quick thing, what happened to him? Dave was an infantry company commander.
Okay.
And they started to take fire in an ambush. And he moved forward into the face of the fire, which is what you're trained to do in the infantry. And one of the men threw a grenade at the source of the fire. And the grenade hit a tree, bounced back into the own position, and it landed in Dave's lap.
Oof.
The fella had forgotten to pull the pin.
Thank goodness.
So Dave, I swear, he saw his whole life flash in front of him. I don't think he's ever been quite the same since that time. And then they were going to give him some time in the rear after this incident and after the firefight. And for whatever reason, Dave couldn't make the flight on the chopper back to the home base. And the chopper was shot down by the Viet Cong, and everybody on the chopper was killed. Well, Dave passed on from a disease called mantle cell lymphoma, which has been correlated to Agent Orange exposure.
Okay.
All right. So my job was to write about my experience with Dave in dental school. And I did research to include so many of the people that I'd known in the dental school. So many of the people in the dental school were veterans, and so many of the professors had instructed at Walter Reed or treated patients at Walter Reed. The dental school was a, quote, military-friendly environment. And I listened to your previous segments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When a lot of us came home from various tours of duty around the world,
sure,
not all environments in the States were military-friendly.
That's true.
The dental school
this was one of them.
I'm putting it in front of Larry, and I'm putting it in front of some of the other gentlemen that are in our veterans group.
Mm-hmm.
We decided, let's maybe reach out to the dental schools to provide care for the veterans. That'll save us the tremendous amount of money setting up new clinics in the VA system,
mm-hmm.
hiring new professors to take care of the tremendous number of veterans that need treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to Glenda. She's the one that put that idea on our mind at the right time.
Well, that's great.
And we're moving forward.
That's wonderful.
We're moving forward.
That is wonderful. So how long have we been working on this?
Well, the real tough part was when we went from the 115th to the 116th Congress. We had to get somebody to introduce 96 because 4556, the predecessor bill, was introduced by Congresswoman Carol Shea Porter of New Hampshire, but she was retired.
Okay.
So getting somebody else to reintroduce it was the tough part.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to get it done early. We were told that it helped if it would get a lower number.
Doc, when you say this, it was difficult to get somebody to introduce it, it's almost unbelievable to me that first it ought to be there anyway. You know what I mean? I mean, it ought to be treated as any other problem that that the VA does. But I would think that there'd be bipartisan involvement and that everybody should be in line there. Let me sign. So
it's shocking.
It is shocking. So
we haven't done our job well enough. Larry and I will not give up till this gets accomplished.
Oh, I believe that.
And it's the right thing to do, not only for the veteran, but for the whole society, for the country. We'll get it done. The movie Animal House, knowledge is good. I think Larry and I maybe haven't quite done as much as we're going to do. We're going to get the knowledge out to the regular community, and we'll get it done.
But we could really use, if your listeners would, make the call to try to get some more co-sponsors, go for Lauren Underwood, Sean Cast, and Foster, out to the West.
Okay. Mention those...
Well, I'm just saying Chicago area, because you're in Chicago area.
Right.
It'll be Underwood, Caston, and Foster.
Okay.
Those are three from Chicago that we don't have. Now, if you want to go further out, then we get into the Republican areas, La Hood and Kinzinger.
Okay.
And Kinzinger's, Air Force.
Yeah.
And I did get a response from his office, and they were just saying,
he's a veteran.
Yeah. And he's saying, he hasn't taken a position on it, and he's not on the committee. Like, as if you're not on the committee, that, who cares?
Crazy.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. Okay. This is really a situation which I'm sure glad to see the two of you working on this. Our number is 312-374-8130. This is America's Heroes Group. I'm Cliff Kelly, and we are so pleased to have these two wonderful gentlemen in the studio that working on H.R. House Resolution 96 to amend Title 38, United States Code, to require the Secretary of Veteran Affairs to furnish dental care in the same manner as any other medical service and for other purposes. And to both of you, Larry Nesimak, Air Force veteran, Vice Chairman of Coalition Veterans Organization, and, of course, our good friend Dr. Mark Wyman, who is back with us, American veteran and Army veteran, rather, and a dentist. If somebody asks me the question, gentlemen, does the VA treat people with dental problems? You know what my response would be? Yes.
under very...
I would think, I would just presume that that's the case.
I had the opportunity to speak with John Borling just a couple days ago. Are you familiar with General
Borling? I know who he is, yeah.
He was a POW
yeah.
in Vietnam. He spent 6 years at the Hanoi Hilton. Mm-hmm. One of the rules, if a person is a POW, he's authorized to get dental care in the VA system. There are various other laws that allow veterans, but it's only a small number of veterans that will be treated under the laws. And subsequent to the small number, the facilities are not as extensive as they should be.
That's something.
Yeah.
Let's take a caller. Hi, Tish. Thank you for calling America's Heroes Group.
You're still my governor, but I'm grateful to hear the guests that you have on about this dental issue.
Uh-huh.
I lost a friend who had complications that really started with a veteran. The lack of dental care, it affected his heart and it affected his kidneys. So, but it looks like our government representatives, except for the ones that you named, mm-hmm. treat dental care like it's a cosmetic mm-hmm. procedure, and they don't give it any importance, and they save a lot of money on it by keeping it, by preventing people from getting the health care that they need. That affects dental care affects so many other areas of your health. So, again, thank you for having these guests. Thank you for having this program, Governor.
And thank you so much, Tish. We really appreciate your call, and you're right on point. Thank you so much. She's totally correct.
No question. Mm-hmm. Many years ago, we used to think, well, your cholesterol numbers were really a predictor mm-hmm. of potential heart problems. Mm-hmm. Your weight was a potential predictor. Your blood pressure was a potential mm-hmm. predictor. And all of these are important. A factor that's even more important now is called C-reactive proteins, which are produced by the body as a sequela of inflammation in your mouth. In other words, if there's a lot of gum problems or if there's a lot of disease going in and on in the mouth, more of these C-reactive proteins will be produced, which will cause a detrimental effect on your cardiovascular system. And a lot of times they think that's even more important and the cholesterol issue, et cetera.
Wow. And when it comes to the cost factor, mm-hmm. people are saying, well, how much is it going to cost to provide this dental care?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to save money in the long run because look how much more it costs to mm-hmm. treat people for these other things. It's the ounce of prevention versus the pound of cure.
But, Larry, why would anybody even talk about the cost?
Yeah.
Pisses me off, quite frankly.
They don't talk about the cost of dermatology or podiatry or oncology.
Well, exactly. And you're talking about veterans, and it just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to tell you, you folks are doing a great job, and we have mentioned we're going to make some calls, too. We can certainly do that to some of the congresspeople. And it's just great what you're doing, and I just want to thank you.
Thanks, both.
Thanks for having us. Yeah. And now the person who's been mentioned a number of times for the great job that she does, our executive producer, Glenda Smith.
Oh, aren't you sweet and thoughtful,
did you
Governor
hear
Talk
what the
Radio?
Did you hear what the Dr. Wyman was saying?
Dr. Wyman, what did you say?
I forgot, Glenda. I don't want to get in trouble.
Bless your heart. Thank you guys so much for listening to America's Heroes Group. And regarding any issues regarding affordable housing, social services, wellness care, please feel free to call America's Heroes Group 24/7 at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250. We sincerely thank you all for watching us live on Facebook. Make sure you hit the Facebook button at the top of our Facebook page. Therefore, you will stay connected and will receive future notifications regarding shows, events, information, and resources regarding our veterans, armed forces, and their family members. We are extremely grateful to our partner, Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle of the Chicago Crusaders. And the article, Veterans, Armed Forces, and Their Family Members, can be viewed online at www.chicagocrusaders.com. To subscribe to Chicago's Crusaders weekly column, Voices with the Governor of Talk Radio and America's Heroes Group, call Chicago Crusaders at 773-752-2500 or send an email to ads@chicagocrusaders.com to request a subscription. They do an excellent job every week with our article. We are so grateful to the technical producer today, Mr. Delvin Randall. We thank you all so much for having a great, great, great show with us. Stay tuned next week as we try to keep you informed, engaged, and connected to our audience of America's Heroes Group military population, 40 million strong. Thank you, Governor, for a great show, as always.
Thank you.
And thank you to all the panelists today. Thank
you, guys.
Appreciate
it. Thank you, everybody.
Yes.
Have a great rest of the week.
Absolutely.